Well, as most of you know, I personally enjoy laughing and carrying on and enjoy just a little bit, giving folks a hard time. And some of you think that's the understatement of the year, preacher, I guarantee you. Well, I come by it honestly because I am truly a redheaded stepchild. And my stepdad was the king of giving folks a hard time. And he really enjoyed just harassing people. And so what I learned through the years, obviously I learned how to give folks a hard time, but also learned how to hide what really got to me. See, because if you ever showed any weakness to my stepdad, something that just, if he gave you a hard time, and it, boy, if he ever got a hold of it, you were in trouble because he were going to run you into the ground with it, I guarantee you, okay? And so, quite honestly, I have to be really careful because I also picked up that trait too. I'm really good at picking up what really kind of gets under people, that kind of thing. So I've got to be really careful, okay? By the way, that's a terrible trait to carry into a marriage, okay? I'll just be honest with you. And so you have to learn that my bride is not the one. She's really sweet, and I don't know how in the world she has made it this long. So that was a good place. You should have said amen. I'm not going to give you a chance again. So, but anyway, so I learned, whatever it was, he may give me a hard time about something, and Bob, I'd just have to laugh and go on, even if it did bother me. But when you give folks a hard time, you carry on, you play, you joke, and sometimes you do get on dangerous territory where you really get a sensitive topic or a sensitive subject. People get defensive and they get uptight. And it's really interesting if you don't know that that's a sensitive topic and everybody around you does, because they get really quiet. And they get really, really nervous, really anxious. Well, for this week and next week, I'm preaching on kingdom generosity. And it's interesting because you begin talking about money, folks get a little uptight, a little nervous. Sometimes we get sensitive. That preacher ought not be preaching on money. Every time I go to the church, he talks about money. All sorts of things, right? Well, the reality is I'm called to preach the full counsel of God. And that's my calling. That's what every time I prayed, try to be sensitive. God, what is it you would have me to preach? And so I'm fully convinced the next couple weeks God's led us to focus on kingdom generosity. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but as you read through the Bible, particularly as you read through the teaching of Jesus, Jesus taught often on money. Because we tend to make money, first we turn it into a god. We serve it. But the reality is, the Scripture teaches us, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so we have to be really careful, because those of us that get really uptight and really upset about a preacher or somebody teaching on money or too much of a focus on money, and yes, you've got to be careful. But the reality is, Jesus had quite a bit to say about generosity, quite a bit to say about giving and money and finances and the gifts and how we use those. And so we need to look to the Scripture to see what God teaches us about generosity and about giving. And so Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. If you're willing and you're able, you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Luke 6, we're just going to read verse 38. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I pray, God, you would take your word. I pray you take the preaching and teaching of your word, and you would pierce it to the asunder of our soul, God, that we would respond to you in obedience. God, you be glorified in this time together. Lord, give us clarity. Give us wisdom. Fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. Lord, we love, praise, and adore you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are focusing on this single verse in Luke 6:38. And yes, I hear you. We need to be careful. When you take one verse in a passage of Scripture, you got to be really careful not to misuse that. You need to understand the context and how it's originally being used. But here's what I want to say to you out of Luke chapter 6. Some things that are happening is Jesus, and beginning in verse 20, he's giving us, we get a small glimpse in Luke detailing some of the Beatitudes. Then he gives some warnings. But then beginning in verse 27, he gives, in just some short statements, almost Twitter-like, these brief statements listing out some of these teachings of Jesus. So Luke 27 and 28, he says, love your enemies, do good to those, bless those who curse you. And so time and time again, here for the next several verses, Jesus is going to give us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Luke, some brief statements, some real quick statements about how to live the kingdom life. And so that's why I've titled this Kingdom Generosity. And the subtitle of this week's message is Giving God's Way. God has a way, he has a manner, he has a method in which we ought to give. And so you're following along and taking notes. The main idea of the text is God commands us to live generously. Christians ought to be the most generous people in all the world. So God commands us to live generously. The question of the text is, do you give in a godly manner? Do you give in a way that reflects Christ? And so we're going to have just two main ideas. I don't know, we may not even be here very long this morning, but just two main ideas out of this text that I want us to focus on and just take out of this quick statement that we have in the Scripture this morning. And number one, giving in a godly manner is not just green. Giving in a godly manner is not just green. It's not just coin. It's not just a dollar bill. What do I mean by that? Listen, we're talking this morning about kingdom generosity, and we're talking about being generous not just with your finances, but with your time, with your talent, and yes, with your treasure. See, as Christians, we're called to be generous, and yes, we're going to talk about money, we're going to talk about finances, but we need to understand, because that's the main thrust of this verse, but I want to set the idea that they're not talking about just money. It's not all that we're talking about this morning. That you and I, because of what Jesus has done, and thank God, it's not just about giving finances, because God knew we had a problem that couldn't be solved with throwing money at it, but we had a heart issue that needed salvation, and God gave His Son Jesus, gave the very best that it had, and it wasn't money, it was His Son. And so because of that, you and I can be redeemed, we can be rescued. That we have a sin problem that separates us from Almighty God. But hallelujah, we have a Savior, a promised Messiah that came to rescue, to ransom, and redeem our soul. And so God has set the standard, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And out of that giving, out of that abundance, out of the abundance of what you and I have received, first and foremost, through salvation, we've got to be the most generous people in all the world. And it includes money, but it's not just limited to. So let's start there. How is it that you're giving your time and your talent? How is it that you're serving the Lord? This morning through the Sunday school lesson, the beginning in Numbers, and talking about the presence of God and the presence of God among His people when we come together. But listen, dear friend, the Scripture tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some is. We need to come together. But a primary function in us coming together is serving one another. And coming together that we have a like-minded attitude, do we serve one another, and then we serve our community. And this is the launching pad for that. And so, dear friend, I would ask you in your generosity in this season, how is it that you are giving of your time to serve the Lord? See, we have our new members class. We spend time talking about all the places that an individual can serve. And we come at it from the perspective that if you come to join our church, see, a lot of people look at church and checking out churches and visiting churches and what have you the complete opposite way. People go to a new city, a new place. God may call you somewhere else, and I want to encourage you. You don't go into a city, go looking for a place and go, okay, God, I want to go and find the church that meets the most needs that I have. The problem with that is if you go and you find that church, well then God morphs that community, morphs that body, and that body is no longer meeting all the needs that you think it ought to be meeting. That church suddenly becomes centered around you. Or it's not centered around you and it doesn't fit anymore. But the reality of church is not us being centered around us, but rather it's centered around the Lord Jesus. And how has He called us to plug in to be part of that, that we may make more of Jesus in serving one another and serving the community? And so how is it that God has called me to give of my time and serve the Lord? But then how has He called me to give of my treasure? My talents. God has gifted every single one of you in this room for a purpose and for a plan. And how is it that you're serving and using those talents to serve the Lord? It's amazing. Oftentimes I see individuals that are really talented, and they use those talents in incredible ways out there. To grow businesses, to lead businesses, to serve in the community, lead in the community, all sorts of activities outside. But yet they don't use that talent for the kingdom. And so God has called us to give. He says, give. It'll be given to you. So this command is Jesus is to give, and it's more than just green. It's more than just money. But I also want to submit to you, it's not less than either. So yes, it does talk. I believe it does include our generosity. Has to include our time and our talents. But it does not mean that it doesn't include our treasure. So he says, give to the Lord, and he even talks about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We're going to talk about what the picture is there. It's of the grain that they're coming to get, that they're receiving. But you and I are called, commanded, to give of our treasure. And I realize, for a lot of you in this room, I'm preaching to the choir. Many of you give sacrificially. Thank you so much for how you give. Because of the way you give, we're able to serve and we're able to impact the community. We're able to reach out to Arkansas Tech and community schools and just so on. We don't have time to go through all that the way you give impacts our community. But dear friend, we need to give in such a way that it's kingdom generosity. It reflects the gift of Christ. We need to give until it hurts. And so it's not just money, but it's not less than either. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 and 9 say, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. It is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever." There's so many opportunities, there's so many ways to give. Obviously, we're talking about Lottie Moon this month, and I talked to you last week about the different avenues in which you can give. That you can give through the plate offering. You can give through envelopes and mailing that in and bringing that in. You can give online. There's so many methods in which you can give. My challenge to you, friend, is just to be quiet and still before the Lord and ask God, am I giving in a godly manner? Am I giving sacrificially? Am I living out the generosity in which you have demonstrated through your Son Jesus? Luke 9:23, he said to him, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus, knowing that he was going to give his life and all that it was going to cost him. And sometimes we paint this pretty picture of following Jesus and everything's going to be grand and great and no heartache, no pain, no suffering. And that's just not reality. It's not even what Jesus said. Jesus said it is going to be a life of sacrifice, a life of difficulty. And what is it? What is it this holiday season that we're denying ourselves of that we may be able to give to the kingdom? That we may be able to advance the gospel in unreached, unengaged people groups? We're in the middle of this season where I've challenged you with our Project Redemption. And yes, we've gone through some difficult days and just financial struggles and trying to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And since that time, since we began focusing on that and asking God to bless and give us wisdom and grace, and the Lord's hand of blessing has been upon us, and He's been gracious and kind. And the challenge has been, every adult, if you could give $10 more per week throughout the remainder of the year, then that would help us meet those ends, help us to get the two, the outgo and the ingo, closer together. Many of you have taken up that challenge, and I'm grateful for that. I just wonder how often we limit what God can do and what God wants to do in and through us. By giving of our time to everything else out in the world and not serving the Lord right here where He's called you. Using our talent for everything else, for our own advancement, for our own development, but we're not using that for the kingdom. And then maybe how we're using our treasure to build bigger barns. Meanwhile, God wants to use it to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so, giving in a godly manner is not just green. And then number two, giving in a godly manner provides an abundance. It provides an abundance. Now, let me be really clear. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel this morning, okay? Everybody can take a big deep breath, okay? We dodged a bullet there, okay? I'm not telling you that you give a one-time gift of $1,000 that, you know, your niece is going to be healed or any of that sort of thing, okay? Those are lies from the evil one to give those sort of promises, those sorts of of things, and those men and women will have to stand before Almighty God for those things. However, I do want you to see the text this morning that there is a promise of abundance as a result of abundant giving. But let's look at the text and allow the text to give us some clarity here. Verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So what then is he teaching here? He does say, if you give, it will be given back to you. But we've got to understand that we have people standing on this and saying, well, that means if I give $1,000, I'm going to get back tenfold, so I'm going to get $10,000 next week. No, that's not necessarily what it's saying at all. The teaching and the principle is that I give, and I give in a godly way, I give in a sacrificial way, then God does pour out blessing on us. Now, you and I may not be able to measure that blessing. We may not be able to measure how God gives and how God blesses. And we may not even really know this side of heaven how God has worked as a result of our generosity. But the promise is there. And notice he says that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that was how they measured out grain. If they had a tub of they would pour grain in and press it down and push it down and try to get every piece of grain, everything they could into that container. And they would rattle it around, press it down, push it down, sometimes heap it up and make a hole in to try to get even more up above, heaped up above it. But then he said, pour it out into your bosom. And I don't know if you remember, but at one time we lived on a dirt road. And we had 10 pecan trees right around our house. And as I understand it, pecan trees go through a 7-year cycle. And that 7th year, man, there's an abundance of pecans that fall. At least that's how they explained it to us whenever I was a kid. But we would go out, and man, 1 year that we were there, we only lived there 4 years. But the trees just dumped a massive amount of pecans. Matter of fact, we put a sign at the end of the road saying, please come get pecans, because there was way too many. But I remember going out as a kid picking them up, and I didn't have a pail or anything. So what'd you do if you don't have a bucket or anything? You get down on your knees, and you take your shirt, and you pull it out, and you start just dumping them in, right? You're just holding as much as you can get and dumping them in, and just trying to heap it up as much as you could get. That's the picture here. Given will be given to you, pressed down, measured. And he says, into your bosom. That's the picture. That's the picture of the language here, is that God heaps it upon us. Dear friend, let me put it real simply. You can't outgive God. And you've seen this in your own life. You've seen this in your own time. I've never missed anything that God led me to give away. Anytime He prompted our heart, anytime He moved in our life and prompted us to give above them what we were expecting to or whatever, we never missed it. God always provided. God always took care of us. So dear friend, I want to be really careful and not present to you this morning that if you give X number of dollars, that next week you're going to get X number of dollars. God blesses in all sorts of ways. But I just know this, that you can't outgive God. Mark 10:29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first." Jesus said, there's nobody who's given anything for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom, that God won't bless over and over and over. And God won't work in ways unimaginable. And then flip over to 2 Corinthians 9 again and just kind of the fuller context of this passage. Beginning in verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which caused thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through the many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by the prayer, by their prayer for you, who long for you because the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And Jesus finishes this saying with saying, "For what measure, or with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." I'm so grateful. Next week we're going to look at the widow giving the two mites and the generosity that she displays. Dear friend, I'm not here this morning to set a burden on you that's not there in Scripture. I'm just telling you, you've seen it and I've seen it, that when we're faithful to give, God always blesses. God always takes care of His children. And so how is it that God is leading you maybe to take a next step and begin to really give sacrificially? Maybe to up your giving, maybe to give more of your time, to give more of your talent. I learned a lot of things while in seminary at Memphis and working under the ministry, Brother Ronnie Tullis's ministry. But one of the things that I hold near and dear to my heart that I learned from him is generosity. I've never been around anybody regularly who gives away more than what Brother Ronnie does. People would never know it unless you were close to him. People give him the ministry cars and him turn right around and give them away. Give all sorts of things. If you tell him this, he'll kill me, okay? Last time he was here, he gave me and my family a set of tires. Just because he wanted to. By the way, there's no talking Brother Ronnie out of anything. If you've been around him very long, you figured that out. But you know what I've also seen? Because of his faithfulness to give things away, I've never been around somebody who people give more things to. All the time. So many things. God just given to the ministry. Given to him. And oftentimes he turns right around. He happens to know somebody in need and gives that away to them. Now, I can't tell you, because he's given my family a set of tires, that Next week, he's going to be given a brand new car. But I can tell you, I have seen evident in his life that you can't outgive God. Time and again, God has been faithful. And so, dear friend, I don't even be honest with you, I don't even know what the invitation is this morning. Other than, maybe when's the last time you and your wife, you and your family has asked God, God, am I giving in the way that you want me to? Maybe God's leading you to give, another percent. Step it up another percent this year, another amount. Or maybe you're giving all you can. God, maybe you want me to give more of my time or more of my talents or whatever it is. I see this need and I have the ability to do this and I want to serve that way. Am I being as generous with my time, talents, and treasure as God wants me to be? And then finally, really the ultimate thing, for lack of a better term, for you to give away is yourself. Give yourself wholly, completely, totally unto the Lord. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, God has given absolutely everything He could in His Son Jesus for you to know Him, to live for Him, to serve Him. He's given His Son Jesus that you have eternal life, abundant life in Him. And that only happens when you surrender to Him. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. And I pray, God, this morning, God, that we'd be challenged from Your Word. And Lord, we just look to be obedient to You, to our time, talent, and treasures. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that's lost and doesn't know You, God, would You save them? Convict them of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Lord, help us to respond to You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Now, you remain in the attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe about salvation. Maybe you need to be saved. You come, say, Brother Chris, I need to be saved. I want to give my heart and life to Jesus. And you come in just a moment. Maybe God dealt with your heart about something else. You come and get on this altar and you spend time praying before the Lord. Praying about your time, how you're using your talents, how you're using your treasure. Maybe you just need to pray for somebody else. Pray for how you're using the gospel. Are you using it to give it away? Share with others. This invitation is for you. If God spoke to your heart, you come now. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. God leading you to join our church, you come. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You be obedient to Him.